I've been watching way too much Seinfeld.
Yeah, I guess.
Fucking Netflix. I can't believe it's taken this long to get Seinfeld on a streaming platform.
Well, it was in syndication forever on network
time. Yeah, I know, but I realized how incredibly annoying it was watching it on network television with all the commercials.
Yeah, episodes are like, what, 13 minutes long without commercials?
So much better. It sure seems like it.
I bet. 22 minutes.
I think they're 22, 22 minutes.
And they just keep getting shorter.
Every episode is 1 second shorter.
If that's true every episode, though, then eventually there's just going... It'll be
a TikTok.
It's going to be a TikTok with a 29-minute
The series finale of Seinfeld. It's just...
Sherry!
Previously on Seinfeld... Wow! Newman.
I didn't realize until recently that you know how he does the stand up at the top of each episode and then at the end.
Sure.
At some point, he just totally drops that.
Yeah. They were like,
I don't know when.
It was probably Larry David being like, you know, we don't really need it. The show's good. The show's funny. You don't need to do the people know you do stand up. We don't need it in the show.
I also only now realized how many voices Larry David does on the show. He does everyone who's not shown on camera.
Yes.
Like every single person.
Steinbrenner's the best, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Far and away.
Also, people don't realize he played the soup Nazi.
That is not correct.
Yeah, no, and he
played the soup.
Yeah, he was also Elaine. He was Elaine in season 3.
Mm.
When she was having her baby, he stepped in and played Elaine.
And then the baby.
Yeah, that's right. I remember that episode.
He would definitely play a more convincing-looking baby than...
He would.
Elaine.
He's got the disposition and the hairline. Yeah. The surly, baby-like disposition.
Some babies
are surly. Is Curb Your Enthusiasm still... They brought it back
a couple
years ago.
Yeah, it's still going. It's on, like, season 10 or some shit right now.
Yeah.
It's just going to go until he dies, I hope.
Probably.
And then they just have to do a big funeral episode. Just Jeff Garlin. Yeah.
Improvising a funeral.
Yeah. I'm just so sad that Funkhauser is gone, you know?
Because that's a great
name.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Well, it's a great name, but that comedian was also fucking hilarious.
Yeah, what was his name? He had a show or something.
Marty Funkhauser. No, he was...
On the show it was Marty Funkhauser.
Well, he was Dave, the Incredible Dave or something. He was, what was
he?
Was
Dave
Osborne. Yes.
Dave Osborne. No, that's not right. No, what's the guy's name?
I can't remember his real
name at
all.
You talking about Super Dave?
Yeah, Super Dave. There you go.
Yeah, Super Dave. Yeah. Super Dave.
Sorry, Osborne. You're right. Bob Einstein.
Oh, Bob Einstein.
There you
go. That was the character's name, Super Dave Osborne.
Right, yeah. That's why it's confusing. We couldn't remember his name because he has four names.
Bob Einstein. Unlike other actors who always only play themselves.
Well, yeah.
He had character names.
He had at least four names.
What?
That's why no one can remember Johnny Depp's name. Because he had four
names. Yeah, that's not Jack Sparrow.
It does kind of show that it's smart when comedians have a sitcom and their character's name is their name, because we could not remember Bob Einstein's name because of all the characters he's played.
But you know Larry David's name, because he's like, my character will be called Larry David. Yeah. No, we're going to call you Jeff Gorbinson. He's like, I can't remember that. Just call me Larry David.
That's not going to work.
But at least for stand-ups who need their name out there, it's a lot smarter.
Right. They do that on The Office. Like, almost every character on The Office, except for the leads, uses their real life name for some reason. At least the first one.
A lot of them do.
Not the last one.
Yeah. I was shocked. We're not going to talk about The Office.
Yeah, not
Joe,
it really
Joe
is
Joe
only
me.
Like two of them.
Correct.
Now that I think about it,
I'll jump in the like car, drive to Kentucky just to kill you.
Joe will murder me. Yeah. Guys, I don't know if it's too early in the podcast or not. You know what it is. I'm going to save it. Never mind. We haven't even done intros. I realized when I edited the last episode, we got like 15 minutes into the episode before we said, hey, this is a little nonsense. It was a little gratuitous. I feel like we could have done the intro at the end of the show at that point.
All right, let's do that.
Yeah. So we're not going to do it now, is what you're saying.
No, I guess I've laid down the gauntlet, and so Joe sees a really funny challenge, and Joe is the king of saying, oh, does that sound like a bad idea to you? Then we're doing it.
that is kind of the way I like to run my life.
That's his comedic sensibilities, for sure.
You'll just have 58 minutes worth of stuff to choose from before the intro.
Joe's like, oh, does that make you uncomfortable? Well, guess what I'm doing for the rest of the
58
day.
58-minute cold open.
People are going to be so confused about what the show is.
Yeah, I really hope this isn't your first episode, new listener.
We used to do the intro at the very end all the time, didn't we?
Yeah, but then we edited it to the beginning. But
yeah, that's how the sausage is made.
I got super lazy, and also sometimes there were continuity issues when...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we'd reference something we talked about.
We'd be all wasted and shit. Like, yeah, I'm Sean Tucox Pareto. And then welcome to Loma. They'd be like, so, how are you guys doing tonight?
And then 40 minutes into the episode, the reason it's Sean Tucox Pareto becomes clear.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
That becomes fairly obvious how the sausage is made.
Right. Yeah, nobody wants it. I tell you what, I made a mistake the other day. I made an error in judgment. I was curious because I think I was listening to like Jane Goodall was talking about being vegan or some shit. And I just out of curiosity, I went to YouTube and I was like, pigs being slaughtered.
God, please don't do that.
Well, because I realized I'd never actually seen...
Sean, that's called a mistake.
Like, footage. I realized I'd never actually seen the methods in video form. And
yeah, you don't want to see that.
I made it about 6 seconds in, and I noped right the fuck out of there. And then I had some prosciutto this evening.
What was it about the word slaughter that seemed like a good idea?
Well, you can't spell slaughter without laughter. No, I just...
Thanks, Joker.
I really was. Jane Goodall was like... She's like this really old lady whose mind is completely still there. It was a pleasure listening to her speak.
I'm very familiar with Jane Goodall.
Yeah, she's like...
The ape lady.
She was very eloquent and very smart until the very end of the interview I was listening to where they were like, it was Mark Maron. It was on the Mark Maron podcast. And he was like, so what do you think of all these Bigfoot, people? And she's like, oh, I get the Bigfoot question all the time. And you're like, okay, she's going to shut this shit down real quick. And then she's like, there was a tribe in Ecuador and three of the separate warriors told a tale of... A large primate that stood on two legs and blah, blah, blah. And, like, within 30 seconds, it was like, oh, no, wait. She, like, totally believes in Bigfoot. It was a real hard turn. I was like, wait. All of a sudden, like, this very intelligent-sounding lady was like, I think we should investigate Bigfoot.
Which we haven't done yet.
She was like, I would have gone if we could have received funding. I would have gone and looked into it.
Well, what's funny is that if we did one day find Bigfoot, we would be like, oh.
There he is.
There's like a gorilla that lives in North America.
If we found okay. Bigfoot now, how stupid.
Like the three of us?
Yeah. No,
there he is.
Yeah, let's go find him.
Just humanity. In general, how stupid would you feel our species is? We have all this technology, satellites mapping the entire planet constantly, and it's eluded us this long.
Sneaky bastards.
James Cameron has a deep sea submersible and is going to parts of the ocean that scientific institutions can't reach, but there's just some creature in the woods we haven't seen before.
And
we haven't even found its feces.
Yeah,
or bones.
And it's Mike's scat. Been looking.
Yeah, No evidence of scat. Bigfoot scat. Sorry. Dibs on the band name Bigfoot Scat.
Now, if we found Bigfoot in the Amazon rainforest, it'd be probably a little bit of a different story, because there's like uncontacted tribes in there.
Scientists, every time they go to the Amazon after one day, they're like, scientists have discovered 4 million new species.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's absolutely true. I mean, not 4 million, but I mean, if we're talking about bugs, it's like hundreds, right?
Yeah, every there are time. 4 million new.
They shake a tree and they find new bugs
per square foot of the Amazon rainforest.
The Amazon is just trees and a handful of scientists screaming, "What the fuck is this thing?"
Yeah, or just screaming because those trees are trying to kill them.
Yeah, and there's like ants
everything
that are like
trying to everything kill them. In the Amazon is trying to kill you.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I'm shocked every time I see like pictures of like here's an Amazon ant and it's like a foot long. You're like, wait, that's not real. And like, yes, it is. Here it is next to a bird. And like, it is eating a bird.
It's a bird eating.
The bird
ant.
Is a condor.
Yes. Here it is eating a hawk. Yeah.
Swallowing it whole.
I saw leafcutter ants when I was in Costa Rica, and those things are awesome.
Those are awesome.
Costa Rica is like the closest any of us have been to Jurassic Park.
Yes, well, it was filmed
in Hawaii. It was filmed in Hawaii.
Was it filmed in Hawaii?
Yeah, but Isla Nublar.
Oh, but it takes place
off
in,
the coast
of
Costa Rica, I believe.
That's right.
But no, what's so cool about leafcutting ants?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that's really cool about leaf-cutting ants. Should we talk about it for 20 minutes?
No, just a few seconds.
Give them the highlights.
Well, are they first of all, seeing them is cool because they march in these perfect lines carrying little pieces of leaves on their back.
Do they make formations like the Ohio State marching band?
I say on their back, but they're in their they're in their mandibles.
Okay, that's impressive.
But no, they're really cool. They actually are one of the only other things, if not the only, well, I guess bees also do this. One of the only other things that participate in agriculture. So they take the leaves, they bring them underground to their nest, and they have smaller ants that cut them into smaller pieces.
And you witnessed this.
And they grow. Well, no. And they grow fungus.
It was
in
like
a little
one of those
specialized
see-through glass
gardens.
Kitchens.
Yeah,
you know, they just let you see how they're making their food.
Yeah, no, that is neat. That's
yeah. They actually farm in their little tiny. Actually, these nests are probably pretty big because they're.
It's crazy.
They can be good sized ants. Some of the like the warrior ants are pretty big, maybe an inch.
Isn't it odd how we look at something like an ant and it's got this, you know, patriarchy. Or like, it's got this system of like government in place and workers, and
it's
like
actually a matriarchy though.
That's what I was looking for. Matriarchy and
males are basically useless,
and they're farming.
There's like five of them, and they die.
But then it's like we see one, and we're just like,
but first they
splat.
Get to fuck.
That's true. That's all they do.
Yes, we just view them as so insignificant, but they're like farming and shit, and they've got a queen. Like we should be negotiating treaties with them. If you have a queen, I feel like we should.
Yeah, I mean, there are far more ants than there are people, and most of them are just totally. They just go about their lives without ever even knowing humans exist.
Yeah,
so
we're lucky they don't.
We're much too large for them actually to understand what we are.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just like
we're like the size
that moves.
Of buildings to them. Right.
Mm. When you're an ant, some ground moves.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And then you bite it if it's moving too much.
Yeah. Sometimes you do.
Because that's what we do if an earthquake starts. We
that's
all
how,
just
that's
get
how
on
you
all
stop
the
you bite the ground.
Bite the ground.
Fuck you, planet.
Biting it.
Take that tectonic plate.
Yeah, it never occurred to me that maybe it's just something alive that's moving under me. I should bite it.
Hmm. Well.
When I get annoyed by it.
Next time.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit more about leafcutter ants. No?
Oh,
okay.
Oh, I wanted to.
Shoot.
Guys, it's been a while since we've done something, and I've created something, and I want to play a game, guys. You guys want to play a game?
We can play a
game. Yeah, we can play a game.
It's been a long time, and I've heard from a few of our loyal listeners that they kind of miss our game segments. And I was inspired by one of our previous episodes to create a game.
I like how Joe and I both answered the same way. Yeah, we could play a game. Do you guys want to play a game? Sure, we could play a game.
Are you guys busy?
This game is brought to us by one of our sponsors. We've got to dig into that kind of shit if we're going to get segmented.
I'm sure it is.
Weight loss is difficult. I should know. Hi, I'm Joe Moracle, host and moderator of the A Little Nonsense podcast. Whether you're using the latest fad diet, simply counting calories, or getting more exercise, the feedback from regular measurements are often the key to success. The most common tool in our weight loss arsenal is the scale. But now your scale can be anything but common. Introducing Nostradamus. Plan your weight loss or weight gain with 100% certainty using the first scale on the market that will tell you what you're going to weigh tomorrow. Every time you step onto Nostradamus, you'll see tomorrow's weight, next week's body fat percentage, and the exact date and time to the second of your inevitable death.
Oh, God! Oh, I love it. What a great idea.
Nostradamus will also tell you whether or not you're a good person, whether or not you'll find love, and if you're already with that special someone, whether or not there's someone better for you. And that person's name, address, and phone number.
Hey, that's convenient.
Watch your future weights change in real time as you make new exercise or diet plans in your head, and simultaneously find out whether or not there's an afterlife and if you're worthy of it. Take the mystery out of a healthy lifestyle and life with Nostradamus. Available at Rite Aid.
Rite Aid. That seems like it'd be a very expensive, useful device. I wonder how much it costs. I hope it's affordable.
It's five Nostradamus. Easy payments. Five easy payments of $10 million.
Oh, that's actually... All right.
I feel like it should have been like Nostradamus. But then you wouldn't get... Then you wouldn't get it, I guess. You wouldn't get the reference.
Well, I like that it sounds like dumbass.
Yeah, it does sound like dumbass, which is the problem.
Nostradamus.
Not going to lie, when I came up with the name, I thought about changing it to be just some sort of stupid psychic.
Yeah, I think that is a great motivator, though. It's like you step on it and you're making bad choices and it's like, you're going to die in a year versus you eat some salad and jog that day and it's like, you're going to die in a year and a day.
Well, the best would be you look at it and it never changes and you're like, oh no.
I can do whatever I want.
I'm going to get murdered.
Yeah. Pretty exactly. Much means accident or murder. Probably murder.
Right.
Well, and then you can just do whatever you want.
Probably
to.
Murder.
Yeah, probably. Or yeah. Suicide.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are taking the responsibility and giving it to someone else.
Well, I can only speak for myself, but since Mike didn't think of it either, I'll also speak for him. We're not suicidal.
That's true.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Just Mike and I.
I suppose.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's not impossible to imagine that one day something so horrible could happen. That's... Are we going to have to do another suicide watch?
Oh, God.
Something
phone line at the end?
Like Sean's wife buys a Nostradamus and then goes and finds the dude that she puts up on the scale.
Or lady. Dude or lady.
Or lady. That's true.
Who knows?
Would it be better or worse if it's a woman?
Be way better. Are you shitting me?
Yeah, no, he's right.
Yeah, of course
I'm
right.
I think it would be, yeah. I always thought it was weird, like on, I guess it's, what is it, Friends, where...
Oh yeah,
where,
Ross.
Ross's wife leaves him for a woman, and it's like
he's all
supposed
upset
to be embarrassing.
Yeah,
yeah. I'd be like, Well, at least you know it's not because you're a fucking loser or something, you know?
I know it's not the size of my dick, because that lady's that lady's dick is way smaller than mine.
Hopefully.
But you have to remember, if you watch, like, a bunch of sitcoms from that era and earlier, the prevailing wisdom of the time was
yes.
that you were that you turned them gay.
And that was a very
was
bad thing.
Because that was still believed to be a thing.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
that is definitely they don't say it explicitly on Friends, but that's the implication.
It is. Like, yeah.
It is.
Or that's the joke, I guess, which is
worse.
I mean, that would be if you really could actually turn someone gay by being so bad at sex.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Or
that would be pretty.
Or if you turn someone gay by being so good at sex.
Oh, I see which. Yeah.
Maybe it's maybe it could be a positive thing.
If it's just from how good you're at sex, though, wouldn't you have had to have sex with them first? When they're not gay?
Well, that's either a rape or an experiment.
So you raped them so hard that they became gay?
I remember that episode of Friends. That was Joey did that in season 3, I think.
Jesus.
Joey raped Chandler.
Hey, this was okay.
I know we're talking about the character from Friends, but I really don't like the sentence Joey raped.
And Chandler was like, "Could I be any more gay?"
Oh, this is gonna have to get cut.
I told you. You were gay the whole time, man.
How you doing? All right, so hey, I got a game, guys.
Okay, the game.
I was inspired by a recent episode story that Mike told about an embarrassing moment at work where he confused actor Rob Schneider with actor Roy Scheider. And we got on a big tangent about Rob Schneider. So I'm going to send you guys in Discord a link to a buzzer. All right. So I've got a series of questions here. Different questions are worth different point amounts. I'll explain them as we go. The first question, there are 4 possible answers, and you will be awarded either 1, 2, 3, or 4 points for guessing the top answer. Obviously, top answer, most points. In this case, the top answer means the highest amount of money. If you don't name one of the answers that is in the top 4, the other person will get a chance to steal. When Rob Schneider is the star of the movie, name one of his highest grossing movies. All right, I've got Mike. You buzzed in first.
Deuce Bigelow, Male Gigolo.
That is correct. It is one of the top 4. It is actually the highest grossing. So Mike is awarded 4 points. Now,
nice.
We do have a bonus question here, and I will reset the buzzers so either party can chime in. Out of all the movies starring Rob Schneider, which film has the highest rating according to IMDb? And this bonus question is worth 2 points.
That's a tough one. Starring Rob Schneider? Boy.
Yes. If neither of you, but... All right, we've got Joe taking a shot. Go for it.
I'm just going to say also Deuce Bigelow.
That's correct.
That makes
now,
sense.
Now, I will say that...
It's probably still really bad.
In future questions, though, you may have to differentiate between Deuce Bigelow Male Gigolo and Deuce Bigelow European Gigolo. So I trust that you met the correct one there. All right, moving on. For 3 points, name the highest grossing... I'm sorry, thank you. Name the highest grossing non-Adam Sandler film that he has been in.
Non-Adam Sandler. Shit.
So it doesn't have to be starring Rob Schneider, just the highest grossing non-Adam Sandler film that Rob Schneider has been in. Got no one's buzzed in yet.
Well, because I'm thinking of...
You are not penalized for wrong answers, at least not yet.
First, I have to think of an answer.
Mike, what do you got?
I, I'm gonna go with the hot chick.
I'm sorry, that's incorrect. Joe, you've got a chance to steal.
I'm going to say Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo.
That would be hilarious.
That is incorrect. I'm sorry. Yeah. The answer, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York.
Ah, I didn't realize. He's like a bellhop.
He is, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, shit.
All right, moving along. Tim Curry is the concierge.
He's his boss, yes. Yeah. Moving along.
And Donald J. Trump.
Who can remember fucking Rob Schneider when he's next to Tim Curry? Tim Curry will outshine almost anyone standing next to him.
That's true.
And
that's
in this true. Case, it's Rob Schneider, of Good course. Point. It's overshadowed.
Well, not many can
overshadowed
overshadow
and
outshone. For 5 points, what is Rob Schneider's middle name? Oh, my God. Mike was so quick. You both buzzed in very quickly, but Mike was first. Mike, what is it?
He does not have a middle name.
Yes, he does. Joe, you were right behind him. What do you got?
Bob. His name is Rob Bob Schneider.
Robert Schneider.
I wish I could award points for that, but alas, his middle name is Michael.
Disagree.
It is.
You'd always think, whenever it's your name, you're like, oh, I should have gotten that.
Yeah,
like,
what? No,
but like, why?
All right.
Why would I guess that?
For the next question, disagree. The next question is worth 7 points, and you have a margin of error of 10.
I'm sorry. That was an accident.
All right, resetting. To do that. According to IMDb, Rob Schneider has how many acting credits? Joe, you're first.
35.
That's incorrect.
Okay.
Mike, first.
70.
Neither of you gets the points. The answer is 93.
Jesus.
That's like a pretty average. I mean, for an actor his age.
Yeah, but how many of them,
you know,
can you name?
Reasonable, successful.
Like 4? You that's can only name yeah. Deuce Bigelow, male gigolo, and Home Alone.
I know
TV.
He was Animal. In. He was in one episode of Seinfeld because I saw it recently.
That's right.
Where he's like deaf.
That was probably a question.
Well, not anymore. It's not. Next question for 8 for 8 points.
Reset the
8 points. Yes, sir. For 8 points. In the 2002 film The Hot Chick, the body of a petty thief named Clive Maxtone, played by Rob Schneider, is mystically switched with the body of a pretty but mean-spirited high school cheerleader named Jessica Spencer, who made her film acting debut as Jessica Spencer.
I don't fucking remember. I don't.
All you have to do is name the co-star. Of the
hot
chick.
I don't know who it is. I don't remember.
That's why it's worth 8 points. Her film debut.
Film acting debut, huh?
She's a pretty big actress.
Is she?
Yeah. You'll know it when I say it. It's not some Scurbin McDurbancy or anything.
2002.
Mike buzzed in first. Mike?
Wow, how did we buzz in at like almost the same
You really
time?
Did, yeah. You were one, we 1.66 seconds.
Actually, I guess that's
later.
I'm going to just totally take a wild guess here.
I will also be doing that if you get it wrong.
Because I remember it's a blonde and she became popular shortly after that time period. I'm going to say Amanda Seyfried.
Ooh, that's incorrect, Joe.
My guess, using roughly the same means to arrive at an answer, is Anna Faris.
God, you guys are so close, but no.
How are we close?
Yeah, what does that mean?
And Mike, Mike was closest because I thought you were.
Geographically, does the actress live between the two people we mentioned?
You'll understand. I thought Mike was there because he named someone who co-starred with the correct answer in a movie.
Oh, no way.
Rachel McAdams.
Was it Rachel McAdams?
Yes.
Oh my God, I can't believe that.
I know. So just right now, we're at a score of Mike 4, Joe 2.
What did I get?
But this
four?
Is
that's so bad.
Joe, you got two for the bonus answer.
Oh, right,
of,
right. Okay.
So this is where it gets interesting, though.
At any points.
This is the lightning round. Okay? Each correct answer is worth 1 point. Or, I'm sorry, each correct answer is worth 3 points, so it's anybody's game. The theme of this round is Schneider or Scheider.
Now we're getting to the meat.
When you buzz in, you'll have to tell me if I'm talking about Rob Schneider or two-time Oscar nominee Roy Scheider. If you accidentally mix up their names, you lose 5 points.
Are you saying we lose five points for giving the wrong name?
No, if you accidentally mix up their name. If you're like Scheider, no, Schneider, then you get five points anyway.
Okay,
well, that's not good.
Yeah, once you buzz in, you'll be given 1 second to answer. So you got to be fast with your answer. You can only answer with either Schneider or Scheider. No first names.
All right. Okay.
Let's begin. I'll reset the buzzers. First question. He appeared on 2 episodes of Family Guy. Mike.
Schneider.
It's Scheider.
Oh, what? When did he die? Roy, I thought he died Scheider. Like before Family Guy even started.
He did the episodes in, I believe, 2007.
Wow. Okay.
He is the winner of 1 Razzie Award. Mike.
It's got to be Scheider.
Which one?
Scheider.
Scheider?
Yes.
No, it's Schneider.
Damn it. I thought it was another reverse psychology thing.
Mike's 0 for 2.
How is it only 1 Razzie? That's the thing that
he was nominated for multiple. He only won one.
Ah, okay.
All right, this person has appeared in over 15 films with his friend Adam Sandler. Joe.
Schneider.
That's correct. Joe gets 3 points there. Let me just mark that down. Reset the buzzers. He stands at 5'3" tall. Mike.
Gotta be Schneider.
Schneider is correct. Mike gets the
points.
He's
that short? My God.
Sorry. Roy Scheider is 5'9", for the record. He had his name spelled incorrectly in the 2009 Screen Actors Guild Awards In Memoriam segment. Joe.
Damn it, 83 milliseconds.
That is correct.
He had his name spelled incorrect. Was it spelled Schneider?
No, it was spelled with I-E instead of E-I.
Schneider.
Yeah. He once said...
Reset.
Thank you. He once said... You read a lot about movies with budgets of 25 to 30 million. Joe.
Schneider.
It's Scheider. I want to finish the quote. You read a lot about movies with budgets of 25 to 30 million. Hell, if a studio can piss away that kind of money, why not let them piss on me? That's Scheider. Next one. He once
Reset.
Said.
Mine is. Oh, yeah. Okay.
He once said. The real reason I decided on show business was to...
Schneider.
He's just guessing.
There's no penalty for incorrect guesses.
Yeah, I know.
So.
You're right. You're right.
It is Schneider. You're correct. The real reason I decided
I
on show business...
I hacked Sean's game.
How about he has to finish... Just finish the quote
all right,
or the question first.
All right,
for the last three. That's correct. Okay. Next quote... The important thing is to do good work, no matter what medium you do it in. Mike.
Wow, that was close. That was a tight one. Scheider.
It is Scheider. Mike gets the points.
It's just as well. I would have guessed Schneider just because it's ironic.
The next quote. You know you're successful in show business when people start suing you. Joe.
Schneider.
It is Schneider. Let me do a quick tally here. Mike has 10 points. Joe has 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 points. So we're at 10 to 14. Now, this last question is worth anywhere from 3 to 5 points.
What? Really? Why?
Just based on how I feel. No. Now I'm going to reset.
I knew you were making that shit up.
Reset the buzzers. He did not receive an Oscar nomination for the 1975 film Jaws. Joe, you're first.
Schneider.
What?
Joe
asked. His question was, he did not receive a nomination. Rob Schneider was not nominated for Jaws.
That's true, yeah.
That's correct. True. If you would have said both of them, I would have given 5 points, because that's the correct answer. But I give you 3 points. Joe is the winner with 17 to Mike's 10. Thank you for playing Rob Schneider.
That's pretty remarkable that he was not nominated for that
record, I didn't know Jaws. Was nominated or won anything. I still haven't seen Jaws. Is he good in it?
That's because we haven't seen each other in 2 years.
Yeah. But thank you guys for playing. That was fun. I hope you all learned something.
That was fun. Yes.
About both Rob Schneider and Roy Scheider.
I learned that they're the same person.
Yeah.
Man, Rob Schneider's 5'3".
I know. Isn't that so small?
Yes, it is.
It's very small.
That's small for a woman. I apologize to our listeners who are under 5'4".
Good things come in small packages. Except for Rob Schneider.
Okay. Sean, your ad.
A Little Nonsense is brought to you by The Full Body Exercise Machines by Jigsaw.
Oh no.
Working out is supposed to be fun, right? I want to play a game. This treadmill will force you to jog for 25 minutes. It's tough to get motivated. Pressurized sensors begin the timer. Step off before the time is out and pay the price. Full Body Exercise Machines by Jigsaw are proven to demand your motivation. Live or die. The choice is yours. Rowing machines are all the rage these days. Yes, it was rage that brought you to this moment, Stephen. But this rowing machine will really make you feel the burn. Yes, Stephen, row the distance before the timer runs out, or you will feel an everlasting burn. Hey, how do you know my name? Don't worry about it. Full Body Exercise Machines by Jigsaw are completely 100% free. Because when it comes to improving your health, you can't really put a price on something like that. The price is your life, Steven. Hey there, little guy. That's so weird. This little puppet just rode in on a tricycle and... Soon, Steven will lower his BMI, and all he has to do is, like, eat his own heart or something impossible. Full Body Exercise Machines by Jigsaw. Get 'em.
Get 'em.
But with Jigsaw, it's always possible. It's
yeah,
right. It's like
kinda.
It could.
Mm-hmm. Like when you make someone dive into a horrible pool of needles. Yeah. Like, you know,
yeah, you could survive that. You know? You
have HIV, but you survived.
It's, you know, it's survivable now. You can live with HIV.
Or sometimes it's like, you know, you can save yourself by killing your friend or yeah, something like that.
I think they got increasingly unfair. If memory serves correctly, I think, like, by the end of it, it was like, you know, if you scoop your own eye out and, like, reach into your skull to get a key, it's like shit where it's like you're going to bleed out and die immediately.
That's frequently how, I mean... I treat everything I see on television as factually accurate. So
as you should, yeah.
Yes.
You know, just watching shows like Criminal Minds, you know, sometimes psychopaths devolve and they go bigger and badder each time, and eventually they get caught.
Yeah, I think the franchise also, like, it started off where the Jigsaw Killer was like, you know, he's a dying man. And he's like, all these people don't appreciate life, so I'm going to help them appreciate life. And by the end of it, he was like, Melissa didn't return her shopping cart. So now she needs to chop her own legs off. And it's like, what?
Yeah, it It starts out with a actually pretty solid premise.
The first movie was very good. I remember.
Despite Gary Elwes. Sorry.
Yeah. God, what a terrible American accent he does. He tried to do an American accent on Seinfeld. It was awful.
Yeah, it's just his acting was just like, oh, God.
Why couldn't he just be British in the movie?
Yeah, he totally could have.
That would have helped a lot. I feel like a lot of actors, they're so focused on that accent that they can't really focus on acting natural.
Did Doctor Strange need to be, you know, have a New York accent?
Well, they can make all kinds of changes to the movie Saw, which was written to be that movie. They created that character for that movie. Doctor Strange is a character that was created decades ago in the comic books from
that's true.
But so was Taskmaster. They destroyed Taskmaster.
Well, I don't think they destroyed. I saw the movie. We're jumping all over the fucking place right now, by the way. But
yes, I apologize.
I saw the Black Widow film, and I thought it was pretty good. The Taskmaster shit didn't bother me. Unless he was like your favorite character growing up.
Yeah, he was.
Everyone had Spider-Man toys, and I was like, Taskmaster.
I'm sorry, you were a Marvel fan as a child, Mike. We can't be friends anymore. I'm sorry.
Only Taskmaster. His whole room was covered in posters.
I had all six volumes of Taskmaster appearances.
Remember when Mike went to Halloween as Taskmaster 5 years in a row? I remember.
Yeah. No, I thought it was an okay movie. I thought it was very movie. I don't know.
It was very movie.
It was okay.
It was pretty movie. Yeah.
It was super whelming, very movie.
I haven't seen it, and I'm not going to, so I can't weigh in here.
I thought David Harbour was fucking great in it.
He's just such a wonderfully charismatic everyman, you know?
I'm a big fan of David
Harbour. It's a little stupid that they go from, like, having a perfect American accent to, like, well, actually, I'm Russian. This is how I really talk. It's like, what? That's not... You can't have an American accent. Like,
I agree. It's like, oh, we in Russia now. We talk like this now.
I'm super Russian now. This is how I talk. Don't you remember?
On plane ride over, we changed time zone. I talk to Russian now.
Yeah. And the beginning is like, yeah, dude. Like, I mean, it's like completely
time
American.
For dinner. Yeah.
No, it's actually, you know.
The girl who played Black Widow's sister was wonderful. She was really good.
Yeah, Florence Pugh.
Florence Pugh?
Pugh.
Pugh? I think it's Pugh.
I don't think it's Pooh.
Pretty
it's
sure it's Flo Puff.
Probably
it's
not Pooh.
Flo Pooh. It's Flo Pooh.
It's Puff.
Flo Pooh. Isn't that a great Jedi master?
Koo, I believe, isn't it? Or Plo Koo.
Plo Koon.
Yeah. But Flo Pooh is his cousin.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. Yes, Master Plo Koon's cousin.
Flo Pooh.
Padawan. Flo
I can't remember now.
Flo Pooh, cousin of Plo Koon.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyway,
I would believe that. I was hoping the movie because I've had my finger sitting over the spoiler alert, and I just haven't had an excuse to act.
Actually,
that.
Somehow I didn't really even spoil anything.
No,
I know. That's why I just said that's amazing. That's why I didn't click the fucking button.
It's incredible. Okay.
Yeah.
I wanted to. Yeah. You know I saw
Dune also recently, Sean. I
did
too. I think you asked me about that.
I have a really interesting take on that. Joe, have you seen Dune?
No, but I've read the book. So it's not like you can spoil the plot.
Let me tell you my number one issue with the movie Dune. And this doesn't spoil anything.
Do I have to hit the button?
It doesn't spoil anything. So the casting of Paul's mother.
Jessica.
And actually, his father, his father as well, Oscar Isaacs.
Oscar Isaac, yeah.
Those two, his mom and dad, are played by like 40-year-old actors and Paul is played by a 25-year-old actor. And the thing that took me out of the movie the most was, if I was Paul, like, I'd want to fuck my mom this whole movie. Like, she's so hot, and she's like your age. And like, she's like, how is this movie not about him wanting to fuck his mom the whole time?
I did think that it was a little unbelievable.
She's like super hot. Yes, she's super hot, and he's super hot, and it's like they have a 5-year age difference, and it was just it was not believable that it was his mom. It was just like any other movie, and those two would be fucking each other.
I guess they thought so that, the or maybe thing maybe that, Paul's that character you from is younger.
Fucking your mom is that you don't find her attractive?
She's not 5 years thing? Older than me.
What I'm hearing is that it's the only thing.
No, I'm just saying that, like, any other movie, those two actors in a scene together would just be wanting to fuck each other the whole time,
like,
and it was distracting
for
me.
Your mom, if you found her attractive.
I never really made that connection. I just thought that she was too young. I could believe Oscar Isaac. Like, they gave him some salt and pepper, and he could have passed for 50.
I don't know. They put a little gray in his hair and grew a beard, and he's still like 10 years older than his kid in the movie. I don't know.
That's Leto Atreides.
Yeah, it's a little silly. However,
hey, Sean's mom.
I suppose giving an opinion at all about the quality of the movie would be too spoilery for Joe.
Is it? Joe, are you like, is this one where you don't want to be spoiled?
I've read the book. It's fine.
You probably will want to see it.
Yeah,
though.
I'm going
to
see it.
Want to see it.
I thought
your,
it was
your
a really...
Your opinion is fine. Yeah.
I thought it was a really faithful...
I thought it was very good.
Yeah, I thought it was a faithful adaptation, and I thought that in a world where so many movies in the sci-fi and fantasy genre these days are so fast-paced and very movie, like you said about Black Widow. This one took its time. Yeah, it really like let
and
you breathe.
Well,
yeah.
Well, Dune is not a fast-paced book. If you made a fast-paced movie out of Dune...
But you know Hollywood. Hollywood would be like, let's get to the worms.
We need more worms and more laser guns.
Yes.
It kind of broke my heart, though, that it just seemed like something that Star Wars could have been, you know, like they really could have taken their time more with the sequel trilogy to do something just awesome.
Good.
Like that. I don't know. Epic. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
I think they dumbed it down enough for people who have not read the books. But they didn't over dumb it down. Like they gave you a little bit of necessary exposition, but I think that fans of the books are not going to feel like they spent the whole time dumbing it down for newcomers, which I appreciated.
For sure.
Now I haven't read the books. I really ought to read those though. Those are right up my alley.
They're good.
But it seems like they gave it sort of a similar treatment that maybe Peter Jackson gave Lord of the Rings, and
I think
in terms of the faithfulness,
but not
it,
The Hobbit,
where it's not spot on, but it's it's what you can do with a 3-hour movie, basically.
I think Joe will be. Well, I don't know. I was gonna say I think Joe will be disappointed with the ending, but maybe not.
Well, they're committed to a part two now.
Yeah, yes. Didn't they split the book?
They did.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, you can't complain. You can't.
That didn't bother me at all.
It didn't bother me either. But like, I think there is a you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's like, well, if you want us to make a faithful good movie, we just can't fucking do it in. Can't do one book in 2.5 hours.
Yeah,
I think it's absolutely true, and I think that my favorite movie has no beginning or end, and that's Empire Strikes Back. I mean, it's like, obviously it's part of a trilogy, right? This movie is part of at least a 2-part series. Yeah. I don't know, but with Empire, it doesn't fucking end. There's no ending to that movie.
It ends on a huge cliffhanger.
Yeah, they just stare into space.
Yeah,
yeah, because it's obvious that they're going to finish it.
Right. You know?
So I wasn't bothered by that at all. I guess you could be bothered by it not knowing in advance that they're going to do a second movie. That it was a question mark, I think.
Right, it was. I do think, Joe, you can answer this because you've read the books more recently than I have. I did hear some criticism from people who did not read the books about, you know, they have all these advanced spaceships and weapons and lasers, but they are all fighting with fucking daggers and swords. And I can't remember the explanation for that in the books. Well, that they're not just all holding blasters and fucking blowing each other up.
It's because of the shields. When a laser gun is used against a shield, it creates...
doesn't work.
It does nothing.
No, it creates a nuclear explosion.
That's it. Okay.
Oh, yeah, they probably should have explained that.
Out of the movie? That's really fucking important.
No, I couldn't remember that at all. It was just, the movie, the way it went about was just like, and this is how people fight, is with blades.
Yeah, the number one reason they did that is because if you fired a laser gun at a shield,
I remember
it would
that.
Create a nuclear fucking explosion.
It seemed like, okay, so the way that they show it in the movie
seems like an easy,
like,
way to win a battle, though.
It just seems like the shields are
too
so
easy to do. You fire a laser gun at a city, that city's gone, but now your enemies are going to do that to you.
Sorry, Mike.
That makes sense. In the movie, it almost comes off as, well, these shields are just going to stop any kind of ray weapon. So they use a lot of projectile type things to get, well, they obviously use blunt and sharp edge weapons, but they also use those little hunter killers, right?
Well, they make it a point, though, that anything that is hitting the shield with velocity doesn't do anything, but if you're slow with your entry,
you can get through it.
To create their own fighting style to slowly stab someone. That's a really important thing they fucking left out.
I mean, they show it all. Apparently they show it all accurately. They just don't explain that it would cause a nuclear explosion.
That's the thing I couldn't wrap my head around, or I couldn't remember was the reason. But yeah, the fighting style, though, and the way it is described in the books is fucking awesome. I need to go back and reread them.
I do think that's kind of, if you have one psycho with a laser, I mean, he's...
But yeah, unless he's a really good shot or suicidal.
Yeah, God forbid there's a suicide bomber somewhere. That would never happen.
Never.
But they didn't think of that in, you know, the 50s when Frank Herbert wrote
You
the
mean after
book.
The kamikaze pilots of World War II?
God damn it.
Sacrificed themselves for by Pearl Harbor. Slamming into the hulls of ships.
That never happened.
No. Fake news. But it's a good movie.
I thought it was great.
Joe, you'll like it.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. You're listening to A Little Nonsense. Where the conversation is competitive and the ads aren't real. I am your host and moderator, Joe Moracle. With me, as always, Sean Keller.
I'm Sean Two Cox Pareto. Good Mike to be Pareto. Here.
Hi, guys. Wow, it's so good to see all of you.
It's A Little Nonsense.
For the first time today. Oh, God, this ad is so bad. Oh, all right. Dr. Harlan Manster's championship grade.
Manster?
Dumb jot tables. Hi, I'm Dr. Harlan Manster. Former medical officer on the USS Tribbiani. And first human champion of the illustrious Orion Dom Jot tournament. But you already knew that, no doubt. What with Dom Jot being the most popular space billiards game in the Alpha Quadrant. When I defeated the reigning champion, that blue-skinned Andorian bastard Gringus Chalazar, I knew I could finally make a lasting contribution to the game of Dom Jot. in the form of a high-quality championship tier table. And if you're anything like me, you're sick and tired of Nausicaans hacking your local tables. Those assholes will do anything to beat humans at Domjumps. That's why the Dr. Harlan Manster Championship Dumb Jump Table is completely analog by design, unhackable, totally stable. Plus, it looks extra spacey. I've added fluorescent lighting to all the bumpers, along with some completely unnecessary but super space-like laser light shows that shoot up to the ceiling and make you feel like you're right there in a space bar, playing space billiards. I've also redesigned the Domjot cubes to make them even shorter and more awkward looking to use. Otherwise, people may confuse them with a normal pool cube. But this isn't pool. This is Domjot. Okay? It's way more complicated, as you can see. Table's bigger, has more obstacles, lots of cool balls, different colors that make poop sounds when you hit them. A bunch of randomly placed space pinball bumpers. Anyway, if it's quality Domjot you're after, look no further. How much does it cost? Well, that's complicated because money no longer exists. I guess you just get to have it for free. Just kidding. All that space communist crap is for pussies. A table will cost you 9 strips of gold-pressed latinum. Dr. Harlan Manster's championship grade Domjot.
I want to play Domjot so bad. Domjot.
I'm certain there's a way you can play Domjot. I just want to make my
text message tone Mike saying Domjot, because every time you say it, it's progressively funnier.
Please send me that MP3 and I'll also program that.
Oh, God. Fuck.
I think we need, that should be our first A Little Nonsense official merch, is a Domjot table.
I'm sure that's doable.
For $4,000.
Yeah, no shit.
A custom made Domjot table.
Or 9 strips of gold pressed latinum.
Right, of course.
And that's our episode. With a score of 2, Mike is this week's loser.
What?
Whoa. Even with the Domjot.
How dare you?
Yeah, I mean, he got the points before that. Otherwise, you know.
Yeah, we don't give negative points.
Yeah.
Wait, no, we do. We don't. We don't give.
We give
regular points.
But they're negative.
Sometimes
negative.
We do. If you win the game, sometimes
you're
we do
emotionally
negative points.
Negative. Anyway, I have been and shall continue to remain Joe Moracle.
I'm Sean Tucox Pareto.
And I'm still Mike Pareto. Brother to Sean. You're an asshole.
Have a great week.
Domjot.
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 A Little Nonsense is copyright 2019 by its hosts. All ads are meant to be humorously fake. Any resemblance to a company, person, or other entity, real or imagined by someone else, is either entirely coincidental or purposeful parody. If you have a question, comment, or discussion topic, you can email us through the mail hole. That's mailhole@littlenonsense.com. You can find more episodes and anything else related to the show at littlenonsense.com. And now that the end of show business is concluded, I'll kindly ask, Sean, would you please take us out?
A little nonsense now and then is relished by the wisest men. A little whimsy here and there is often very necessary.
Could I be any more raped?